I want you to open your Bible, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 7 in one hand and Genesis chapter 14 in the other. Hebrews 7, Genesis 14. And if you need a Bible, I think there's one up here in the front pew. Okay. So, Genesis 14 and Hebrews 7. And I think I forgot one reference here. Let me look at something real quick. 12 and 13. Let me see here what we're at. Give me 1 minute while I write down this last reference. All right, I want to look tonight at something maybe a little lighter than we look at a lot of times when we're rightly dividing and stuff like that. I want to look at something we've looked at a little bit before, several months back, Melchizedek. And we know Melchizedek, the very least, is a type of Christ. And we know that folks have tried to say, you know, Melchizedek is this person or that person or the other person. And we talked about some folks say he's Shem and some folks say he's the Lord, pre-incarnate Christ. I believe that if I had to make a decision, I would say he's pre-incarnate Christ. He's the angel of the Lord. I'm not 100% sure on that, to be honest with you, but I'm going to look tonight. I'm going to tell you why I believe that. I might be wrong on that. I've had some heard some people, some great Bible scholars and people that know a lot more about the Word of God than I probably ever will say, well, it was Shem, probably Shem, could have been Shem. I don't necessarily believe that, but I'm not going to tell you I'm 100% positive who it is. But I do want to look at some things and reason together on this issue. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descendant, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, and to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descendant is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that they live. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." We go on down through and look at, we won't read any further down through Hebrews chapter 7, but boy, there's a lot said right there. It talks about the Levites that were commanded to take tithes of their brethren had actually tithed to Melchizedek because they were still in Abraham's loins. He did it for them through his tithing. So we got to remember, when Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, the Levitical priesthood hadn't been set up. This is before the law. This is before, you people say, well, tithing's Old Testament law. No, it was under grace before the law in the Old Testament, is where Abraham tithed. But there's some really interesting stuff in this passage. And let's look at Genesis 14. We'll read a little bit there, and then we'll get back into this Hebrews passage in a little while, but in Genesis chapter 14, we'll read about 17 through 20. It says, "And the king of Sodom," remember where we're at here. Remember, Lot had been Sodom and Gomorrah. These places had been overthrown. Lot had been kidnapped. He'd been taken prisoner, and Abraham goes out and return and gets Lot back, and that's where they're at. It says in verse 17, the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the high God, of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. All right, now it says, and the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even into a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. Now this is going to be very important when we look at types. And we're going to look at some types that we may not have looked at before. But the king of Sodom, this is very interesting to me, because here comes the king of Sodom, and he's a type of the Antichrist. How do we know that? Well, we can look at a couple different things. At Genesis 13:13, imagine that. It says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So he was a king over the men that were wicked. So the king of Sodom, and if we'll just break it down to what the names mean. Sodom means burning, the king of burning. And it was a place of evil. So we have the king of Sodom show up to Abraham, and then we have Melchizedek, king of Salem, show up to Abraham. So we got the Antichrist showing up, and then a type of the Christ showing up. Isn't that something? Old man wrote that Bible. Yeah, come on now. God had his hand all over this thing. And the more we study it, the more we see it's his word. So what happened in the Old Testament? The Antichrist comes along. In Genesis chapter 3, you see him all the way through the Old Testament. And then the Christ shows up. Now in the future, the Antichrist is going to show up. And guess who's coming back? The Christ. The real Christ. But it's just, it's not ironic. It's just funny how God plans this stuff out and put this in his word. The king of Sodom shows up to Abraham. The king of peace, the king of Salem, the king of righteousness. Remember we said the king of Sodom was the king of evil. Right? Sodom was nothing but evil. We just read that in Genesis 13:13. Matter of fact, God ends up destroying that place because it's so evil. Can't find enough righteous people to say, I'm not going to destroy it. But praise the Lord, he calls the righteous out. See, there's another picture of the rapture. We can look at that and see what God's going to do. He's going to call the righteous out. We're so good, he's going to call us out. No, he's so good, he's going to call us out. We have his righteousness. He'll look down this earth and say, I see the righteous, I'm going to call them out of there. But when he's looking at us, he sees his righteousness. And then, he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah again. Because this place is just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is all types. But we have the Antichrist show up, then we have the real Christ show up. The Antichrist is the king of evil, and Jesus Christ is the king of righteousness. Now it's interesting the way the Lord puts this in the Bible. He says that Jesus Christ is the king of righteousness. Well, we're going to pass this up. We'll deal with this when we get back over to Hebrews chapter 7. But I do want to look at this. What the king of righteousness, the king of peace, well, matter of fact, we will deal with this now. Look at verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem. Melchizedek means king of righteousness. And then he calls him king of Salem. When Jesus Christ comes to this earth the first time in the flesh, he came as the king of righteousness. When he comes back, he's going to come as the king of Salem. You know what Salem means? Peace. He's going to come back to bring peace. The peace that this world says they're trying to bring in, we'll deal with this Sunday morning more, a lot more. But the peace that this world says they're trying to bring in, he's actually going to bring it in. Because he is the Prince of Peace. So there are two names here that match up with Jesus Christ. The King of Salem, or King of Melchizedek, King of Righteousness, and King of Salem, King of Peace. You know, that's what Salem means. Shalom, peace. Salem, peace. Interesting, Jerusalem.
Oh, wow.
The City of Peace. I'm not going to go too far with that because we'll deal with that Sunday, Lord willing. But there's some interesting stuff about that. It's also interesting that the three metal letters in Jerusalem are USA, and God has used the USA to keep Jerusalem and actually put Jerusalem back on the map. Amen? Now listen, I said He used the USA. Even when God had noticed the USA had turned their back on Him, He still used them and is still using us because He's long-suffering. It's just there's so many things in this Bible that are so unbelievable, that unbelievable man thing. But spiritually speaking, I mean, it's just an amazing book. And here we see in Genesis 14, the Antichrist versus the Christ. Well, what did the Christ offer? We're looking at types. Verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. What'd they have at the Last Supper? Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. Remember, this is in remembrance. So there's a type of Christ. What's He offering? He's offering His body and His blood. What's the king of Salem offering? Look what he says in verse 21. The king of Sodom, rather, excuse me. The Antichrist. Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. You know what he's after? He's after the people. He says, you can have the goods if you just give me the souls. You know what he tells preachers today? You can have the goods of this world if you just give me the people's souls. Think about it. Two or three jets, million-dollar mansions, church houses that are worth more than Eaton, Ohio. The devil says, you can have the goods if you give me the people. And that's what the Antichrist told Abraham. You know what Abraham said? No. He said, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say that I have made Abraham rich. See that thing? When you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're rich. And the devil comes along but says, I'll give you worldly goods in exchange for the souls of men. I will keep you so busy with the things of this world that you don't even care about the souls of men. The devil don't care about the goods of this world. He'll give them all to you. He could care less about this. But he does care about souls. He wants to damn people to hell. So here we see the king of evil and the king of righteousness, Jesus Christ. We see the compare and contrast there. Jerusalem, city of peace. God will make it the city of peace. That place has never been a city of peace. I mean, you think about all the wars have been fought over that, how many times they've been destroyed, how many times the Jews have been defeated and run out of their land and everything else in history. And think about the fact he's calling it the city of peace. And the devil says, peace, peace, peace. And we're going to get into this more Sunday. I won't have anything to say Sunday if I don't watch what I'm saying right now. But it's just interesting that Jerusalem's called the city of peace and there's no peace. You know how many rockets are fired into that city every day? It's almost like God's a prophet. What come out of Jerusalem? What's going to rule and reign? Who is going to rule and reign in Jerusalem? The King of Peace. It will be the City of Peace. So there's your preview of Sunday, if the Lord doesn't change it. But back over in Genesis 4 or Hebrews chapter 7. Quite a bit of things to talk about here as we're looking at who this Melchizedek may be. You know, one of the obvious possibilities that people bring up that doesn't sound too far-fetched to me would be Shem. You know, he said, blessed be the God of Shem. So maybe, you know, it could be Shem. I don't believe that, though. I believe there's a lot more evidence that this is the pre-incarnate Christ. This is Jesus, the angel of the Lord. Not an angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, and I'll tell you why I believe that. In verse number 9 of chapter 7 in Hebrews, it says, And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithe, pays tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Okay, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. There was no man between God and Abraham. There wasn't even a priesthood set up. So this is a type. So to me, it looks like he's paying directly to God by giving it to the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ, who is God. Okay, now if you jump over here to verse, let's look at verse 3, chapter 7, Hebrews. Talking about Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace, without father, without mother, without descendant, having neither beginning of days nor end of days, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Okay, now here's it. People say, well, without father, because he always has been. But he did have a mother. His mother was Mary. This is the Old Testament. He wasn't born yet. He wasn't the Son of God as the angel of the Lord. He's God. Think about that. Without descendant. He always has been. He always will be. He doesn't have a beginning or an end. He's God. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life. He's eternal both directions. He's God. But like unto the Son of God. They say, well, but made like unto the Son of God. So it says made like unto the Son of God, so it can't be Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. The Son of God was not in existence at this point. The Son of God technically did not exist until he was born on this earth in the flesh. Say, well, look at verse 4, though. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Well, see what it says right there, this man. Now, you wouldn't call God a man, would you? Nebuchadnezzar did. Remember the fourth man in the fire? You remember what he was like? He had the form of the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know who the Son of God was. But God showed him. I believe that the fourth man in the fire was Jesus Christ. And he gave them a show of what Jesus Christ would actually look like on this earth before he ever got to this earth. And I believe Melchizedek was Jesus Christ before he ever got to this earth. He said, well, he was a man. He says he was a man. No. The fourth man in the fire technically was God. Right? So why couldn't this be technically God? Why couldn't this be the angel of the Lord? Now, we know it's not an angel of the Lord because an angel of the Lord wouldn't have let Abraham pay tithes to him. Because that's a form of worship to God, but through this man. They probably wouldn't have done that. Jesus Christ would have. He's God. And I don't believe there was any man between Abraham and God. He's the father of faith. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You look down through here. Father Abraham. You know, Abraham's bosom. You look down through here. I believe personally that this is the angel of the Lord, Melchizedek. I might be wrong. I'm not saying 100%, but I'm saying if God said, well, Pastor, you got to make a decision tonight. Was it Shem or the angel of the Lord? I'd say, well, okay, I'm going to put all my belief on the angel of the Lord. Because that's what it looks like. The King of Righteousness. The King of Peace. You know what else it shows here? Look at verse 1 in chapter 7 of Hebrews again. Now, I know we're looking at definitely a type. But I believe that type's more than a type. I believe that Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, was Melchizedek. I might be wrong. I'm not saying we're going to have a church. You know, we're not going to fellowship with anything, but I don't believe that. I'm not going to say any of that. I'm not going to say if you don't believe that, then you're wrong and I'm right. I'm just telling you there's a whole bunch of stuff here that to me looks like that's who it was. And the more I look at it, the more it looks that way. I might be wrong, though. I've been wrong before. It says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Okay, now think about this. If it was pre-incarnate Christ, he showed up and met Abraham after he led Abraham in victory, and Abraham didn't even realize who it was. But look what it says here. This Melchizedek means king of righteousness, right? King of Salem, king of peace. There's both the advents right there again. We've seen both the advents over in Genesis 14, the king of righteousness and the king of peace. Jesus Christ came as a baby in a manger, and he's coming back as that king of peace. The world just doesn't understand what king of peace means because he's going to rule with a rod of iron. But that king of righteousness is the first advent. He came in his righteousness. He didn't come to rule and reign. He came in righteousness to convict and to offer eternal life. But he's going to come back as that king of peace, and he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. So there's both advents again. This is such a wonderful type of Christ. I have a hard time believing it's not the pre-incarnate Christ. It's not the angel of the Lord. Like I said, I don't want to, you know, seriously offend the brethren. I'm not saying that that's definitely true. I'm just saying if I had to pick one, I'd pick the angel of the Lord. And I think that the, you know, saying that, well, he was without father and without mother. I guarantee you in the Old Testament he's without father and without mother because he's God. God never had a mother. The Son of God, his flesh, had a mother, and that didn't happen until the New Testament. So to say he doesn't fit because of without mother doesn't fit, no, he didn't have a mother. He was the angel of the Lord. He was God himself, maybe coming in a vision that looked like Jesus Christ that was coming, but he hadn't been born yet, so he didn't have a mother. Didn't have a father because he is God. It calls him a man in verse 4. Like I said, Nebuchadnezzar called him the fourth man in the fire. I see that fourth man. We talk about the fourth man in the fire. We talk about that as he was a man, because when you entertain angels unaware, you're dealing with men. People look like men. You're not dealing with people with wings. You're not dealing with something that flies down out of the chimney like Santa Claus, right? You're not dealing with something like that. You're dealing with something. If you're unaware of it, it's because he looked just like a man. That's why Nebuchadnezzar called him a man, because obviously the angel of the Lord was in that fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's obvious. So when it calls him a man in Hebrews, talking to the Jews about something happened before Christ was born on this earth, I don't have a problem with him calling them a man. I still believe that it was probably, or very likely, the angel of the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you we're going to put that in our doctrinal statement and say if you don't believe that, you're a heretic or anything like that. But I'm telling you, this is an interesting study. This book is an amazing book. I mean, we don't very often dissect the names, but when you start dissecting these names, you look at King of Sodom, which is King of Burning. That's the devil. Who's he the king of? All the men of evil of Sodom were only evil continually. He's the king of the evil. And he's the king of he wants to be king. He's going to be king. King of those that burn forever. The Lord says you want to have domain over something, there you go. How about a lake of fire for eternity? So if this is a type of the Antichrist, it's obviously we're looking at Melchizedek as a type of Christ. And that spirit of Antichrist was working in these people. It wasn't just men that decided to do wrong. They had a spirit of Antichrist they were being led by, and they allowed it through their pride and whatever. Basically pride. But Melchizedek is an interesting fella. Interesting fella. And they make a really good case on it being Shem. I just don't necessarily believe that. I believe that if I had to pick between anybody in the Bible that Melchizedek was besides just a mysterious guy we never know, I believe is the angel of the Lord. And like I said, we're not going to split fellowship over somebody believing it's Shem. But there's a lot of evidence here that sure looks like it's the angel of the Lord to me. Amen?